When leaders see us as reactive, they don't invite us into those strategic conversations. Instead, they come to us after decisions are made, asking for training as a quick fix. Because we're not included in those conversations, the solutions we deliver often don't align with the organization's real needs. That leads to ineffective training, which only strengthens the perception that L&D isn't adding value. It's a vicious cycle that I want us to get out. Hey there, and welcome to Development Nerds, the podcast for ambitious professionals ready to break free from the status quo and build a career you actually love. If you've got a million dreams of finding a career that excites you, one that makes you want to jump out of bed every morning, and a relentless drive to develop yourself and others, this is where you want to be. I am Candace Mitchell, your tough love mentor, here with real stories, practical AF advice, and zero fluff. I've seen firsthand that success isn't always glamorous, but with grit and the right mindset, you can create a career that gives you joy and energy, even when things get tough. We'll dive into how to wake up excited for your work, how to find joy in your 9-to-5, and what it really takes to feel energized by what you do. Whether I'm doing a solo episode or chatting with one of our amazing guests, you'll leave with something you can use to start loving your work. So if you're on a walk, in your car, or cycling with that fresh air, let's dive in. It's 1975. Picture someone sitting in a boardroom, notepad in hand, listening as a leader says, "We need a training on this. Can you pull something together?" They nod, jot it down, and leave the room, thinking, "Why am I always the one taking orders? Why don't they see the bigger picture?" Now, fast forward almost 50 years, typewriters have been replaced by laptops, cubicles swapped for hybrid work setups, but somehow L&D professionals are still here, stuck in the same pattern, still frustrated, still seen as the order takers. The conversations haven't changed. The complaints haven't changed. And here's the hard truth. If we don't do something to change this dynamic now, we'll still be having the same conversation in 2075. So today I want to unpack why this has been our story for so long. I'll walk you through the roots of this problem and, more importantly, how we can break free from it. By the end of this episode, you won't just understand what's holding us back. You'll have the tools and the mindset to lead change yourself. Over my 18 years in learning and development, working across industries and continents, I've seen this frustration up close. You've probably heard or even said things like, "Why don't leaders value what we do? Why are we always brought in after decisions are made? Why are we stuck reacting instead of leading?" If any of these resonate with you, trust me, you are not alone. But here's the thing. If we want to solve this, we need to understand why we're here in the first place. So, let's start by exploring the deep roots of this problem by looking into why are we still stuck? Number one are the outdated tools and frameworks. So let's begin there. I won't name and shame, but you know exactly what I'm talking about here. These frameworks were groundbreaking when they were introduced, and some of them still have their place. But they were designed for a world that no longer exists. Take one of the measurement models, for example. It focuses on evaluating training outcomes after the fact. But today's organizations need something more proactive. Tools that connect learning directly to business outcomes like retention, productivity, and revenue growth. And here's a telling stat. A 2022 report from the Association for Talent Development found that 63%, yes, 63% of L&D teams still measure success based on course completions rather than business outcomes. That disconnect reinforces the perception that L&D is a nice to have and not a strategic driver of business success. But it's not just about outdated tools. It's also about the sheer volume of tools. We're overwhelmed by thousands, hundreds of thousands of articles, hundreds of courses and certifications, many of which are outdated or irrelevant. Colleges and training institutes keep adding to the curriculum without rethinking what's already there and perhaps throwing some things out. This leaves us with a fragmented, overloaded system that often feels impossible to navigate. Instead of moving forward, we're stuck, sifting through an avalanche of legacy resources, unsure what's actually useful. And in fact, I am currently a mentor for two people completing their instructional design qualifications. And well, yeah, maybe this is an entire new podcast episode, but what they are being taught is exactly what I was taught almost two decades ago. And even then, it was an outdated way of approaching learning. I haven't, not once, used those ID principles. Number two, perceptions from business leaders. Let's talk about the elephant in the room, how business leaders perceive us. For years, we've been focused on fulfilling requests instead of solving root problems. And while we think we're being helpful, what we're really doing is reinforcing the idea that we're here to execute and not lead. When leaders see us as reactive, they don't invite us into those strategic conversations. Instead, they come to us after decisions are made, asking for training as a quick fix. And here's where it gets even more frustrating. Because we're not included in those conversations, the solutions we deliver often don't align with the organization's real needs. That leads to ineffective training, which only strengthens the perception that L&D isn't adding value. It's a vicious cycle that I want us to get out. Let me share some numbers with you. A 2023 report from CIPD revealed that only a quarter of L&D professionals feel confident that their strategy aligns with business priorities. Yeah, that's one in every four of you. And McKinsey research shows that only 13% of executives view L&D as a key enabler of business outcomes. Now, I don't want to fuel the us versus them, but 13% is a really low number. That perception is a problem we can't afford to ignore. Let me say that again. That perception is a problem we cannot afford to ignore. It limits budgets, sidelines our initiatives, and diminishes our credibility. There is no coincidence that my top two performing LinkedIn posts of all time both talk about L&D being laid off. None of us want this, and none of us deserve this. Number three, lack of a better way. And then there's the reality of working without a better way. How many times have you thought, I know things need to change, but I don't even know where to start? And look, I get it. We're working in an environment where the challenges are massive. Hybrid workforces, skills gaps, AI disrupting everything. And yet so much of what's available to us feels outdated and overwhelming. It's like trying to build a house with half a blueprint and tools that just don't fit. Let's look at the numbers again. A 2023 report by Nomadic highlighted something I've seen firsthand. 80% of L&D professionals understand what best practice looks like, but only 35% feel equipped to implement them effectively. That is a staggering gap between understanding and execution. So for example, I worked with an organization that wanted to improve its leadership pipeline. They had like dozens of ideas, so many mentoring programs, stretch assignments, leadership courses, but no clear plan to prioritize or execute them. And so the result was analysis paralysis. Nothing happened because there was no framework to connect their ideas to measurable outcomes. Number four, our internal mindset, waiting for permission. Finally, let's talk about us, the learning and development professionals. Too often, we are waiting for permission to lead, to innovate, to push beyond the traditional boundaries of our role. It's totally human to stick with what's familiar. I always think of it like that comfy blankie when you were a child, or if you have kids, you know what I'm talking about. But when we cling to legacy frameworks or hesitate to assert ourselves, we're signaling to our organizations that we're not ready to step up. Imposter syndrome is another barrier, and I am having so many of these conversations. This constant feeling that we're not as competent as others perceive us to be. It stops us from sharing bold ideas, challenging the status quo, or stepping into strategic conversations. And the result? We wait, we hold back, and we miss opportunities to demonstrate our value. All right, now that we have unpacked why L&D has been stuck in the cycle, outdated tools, limited perception, execution gaps, and even our own internal mindset, it's clear the challenges are very real and deeply rooted. But if you know me, you know I'm not here to dwell on the doom and gloom. I'm someone who solves problems and takes action, and that's exactly what we're about to dive into. Let's shift gears now and talk solutions, the practical steps we can take to break free from being those order takers and finally lead the way in our organizations. Are you ready? Let's go. Number one is to develop business acumen. Imagine this. You're in a meeting with the CFO. They're reviewing last quarter's numbers, pointing out areas of declining revenue, and they turn to you and say, "We need to cut costs. What's L&D doing to contribute to the bottom line?" How do you answer that? For too long, our answer has been something sort of vague, like we're delivering impactful learning experiences. But the truth is, if you don't understand the financial metrics driving your business, that answer won't hold up. And here's the thing, when you can't speak their language, they'll assume you're not adding value. Developing business acumen means understanding your organization's financial goals, their strategic goals, where they're going in 1 year, in 3 years, knowing their challenges, and knowing those key performance indicators like the back of your hand. Things like revenue growth, profit margin, and employee retention. When you can walk into a room and say, "This upskilling initiative reduced turnover by 15%, saving the company $2 million last year," you're no longer seen as an order taker. You are that strategic partner. Think about that. You're not just running training programs. You're solving business problems. And that is how you earn a seat at the table. Number two is to build strategic relationships. I'll never forget the first time I built a real partnership with a business leader. It was early in my career, and the head of sales came to me with a request. "We need training to improve our team's negotiation skills." Look, I could have just said yes, created a course, and called it a day. But instead, I asked questions. I took time to understand, to observe. We got to the bottom of questions like, what's the challenge they're facing in negotiations? How do you know this is a skill gap? And what does success look like for you? It turned out the issue wasn't negotiation skills at all. It was a lack of business acumen. You see, the sales teams would assume that every customer was the same and had the same reason for buying our product. But that wasn't the case at all. For some customers, it was their bread and butter. But for others, they'd sell our product at a loss just to get customers in the door so they would buy other products. That insight changed everything. We didn't just create a training program for negotiation skills. We built an entire solution that boosted the sales reps' confidence, improved their sales performance, and strengthened my relationship with the sales team. Building those relationships isn't just about doing what people ask. It's about, firstly, engaging with leadership. Meet with executives regularly. Understand their goals, their challenges, and how they measure success. When they see you as someone who's invested in their success, they start to see you as a partner, not just a provider. Secondly, it's about collaborating across departments. Go beyond HR. Partner with sales, marketing, operations, whoever drives the organization's strategy. This collaboration gives you insights into the real challenges and opportunities your training programs can address. And third, it's about establishing credibility. This one seems simple, but it is so powerful. Deliver results. When you consistently deliver initiatives that move the needle, people trust you. And trust is the foundation of any strategic partnership. Number three, adopt a data-driven approach. Let's face it, data is intimidating for a lot of us in learning and development. We're the people, not the number people. But here's the truth. If you're not leveraging data to inform decisions and demonstrate impact, you're leaving money on the table and doubt in everyone's minds. I once worked with an organization that invested heavily in leadership training, but they weren't seeing any results. Why? Because they weren't tracking the right metrics. All they cared about was attendance and course completions. But when we dug deeper, looking at retention rates, promotion speeds, and team performance, we found that the problem wasn't the training itself. It was that the right people weren't attending the training. That insight allowed us to refine the program and deliver measurable business outcomes. And you know what happened next? Leadership stopped seeing training as a checkbox and started seeing it as a strategic lever. Using data isn't just about proving ROI. We need to step outside of that. It's about making smarter decisions. It's about asking, what problem are we solving? How will we know this worked? What metrics matter to the business? And when you can answer those questions with data, you don't just justify your programs, you prove their worth. Number four, embrace innovation and technology. Oh my gosh, the pace of change is relentless. Hybrid work, AI, automation, they're reshaping the way we live and work. So why is so much of L&D still stuck using methods that were designed for a world that no longer exists? Let's take a simple and accessible example. Imagine you're tasked with developing a leadership program for a hybrid workforce. Instead of relying on lengthy PowerPoint presentations or traditional workshops, you incorporate short, interactive video scenarios. These scenarios take people through common leadership challenges like addressing underperformance or leading a team through change. And you ask participants to choose how they'd respond. and put their answer into ChatGPT, asking for feedback and recommendations. Based on their choices and thoughts, they receive immediate feedback tailored to their actions. It's practical, engaging, and focused on real-world application. By using tools like video simulations, polling features, or even just interactive PDFs, you're not just teaching concepts anymore. You're helping leaders build confidence and skills in a way that really sticks. That's the power of embracing innovation. It's not just about chasing the newest technology for its own sake. It's about using the tools that best align with your goals and make learning more effective and engaging. Here are some ideas to make innovation a habit. One is to explore emerging technologies. You do not need to dive into VR right away and embrace it and roll it out everywhere. Start with tools that fit your organization's current resources and needs, like interactive platforms or simple mobile learning apps. Another way is to foster a culture of experimentation. Not every new idea will succeed, and that is okay. Give yourself and your team permission to test and learn. Small experiments can lead to big breakthroughs. And of course, keep learning. The world is moving so fast, and it is on us to keep up. Whether it's attending webinars, reading industry reports, or collaborating with peers, invest in staying informed about what's next. Innovation isn't about having the flashiest tools. It's about being adaptable, intentional, and always willing to try something new. Okay, number 5, advocate for the value of learning and development. And this is a big one. If you do not tell the story of your impact, no one else will. Advocacy isn't about bragging. It's about showing your organization what's possible when L&D is done right. I worked with a team that was struggling to secure funding for a new program. And what was their mistake? They were talking about inputs. We'll deliver 10 courses, they said, instead of outcomes. So we flipped the script. We focused on the results the program would deliver: higher retention, better engagement, increased productivity. And guess what? Yep, you guessed it. They got the funding. It is not enough to do great work. You have to communicate it in a way that resonates with the people holding the purse strings. When you align your initiatives with the organization's goals, measure your impact, and share your success, you're not just advocating for L&D. You are reshaping how it's perceived. Okay, we're about to wrap up, and I want to leave you with this. If we keep using the same tools, frameworks, and methodologies that got us here, we will stay here. The challenges we face today demand bravery, not just to embrace the new, but to let go of what's no longer working. It is so easy to cling to legacy tools because they feel safe and familiar. But the truth is, progress doesn't come from comfort. It comes from change. The only way forward is to do something different, to reimagine how we approach learning and development, to be bold enough to say, this isn't working anymore, and then to learn new ways. There's a quote that I just love, and it goes something like, if you've done what you've always done, you'll stay where you've always been. Something like that. And we cannot afford to stay where we are. Not for ourselves, not for our teams, and not for organizations. So here is my challenge to you. What will you leave behind? What legacy thinking or tool are you brave enough to let go of so you can step into the future of L&D? Take the first step, no matter how small, because moving forward starts with you. A 2022 report from the Association of Talent. But when we cling to those legacy frameworks or hesitate to assert ourselves, we're a But when we cling to legacy frameworks or hesitate to assert ourselves, we're a why can I say that word? That's a good blooper to add. signaling. Okay, And when you can answer those questions with data, you don't just justify your problem. Instead of relying on lengthy PowerPoint presentations or traditional workshops, Thank you for spending your time with us on the Development Nerds podcast. Remember, grit is everything, and you've got what it takes to make your career something you truly love. If today's episode gave you something to think about, go put it into action. We'll be back with more real stories, practical advice, and tough love to help you find joy in your work. There's no other way to say this. We're friends now. See you next time.